Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. It is the 8th of October, and my title today is The Great Promise of Our Abiding in Christ. You know, Jesus made some pretty incredible promises to his disciples while he was here on earth. Here are just a few of them. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask anything, and it will be done for you." He also said, "Whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. The water I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And he also said, "I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." The problem comes when we are not seeing these things in our lives and we begin to doubt that maybe this Christian life is not all it's promoted to be. Especially if we have any kind of addiction and we're not finding freedom, we tend to doubt it all the more. Our expectations are high coming into this relationship, but as the years have passed, we can begin to doubt, especially if we're struggling with the ever-plaguing issue of sexual sin. Listen, I believe the disconnect lies in the reality that we want the results of our salvation to be more right now than they actually are. Now, there are some things that are automatic in our salvation. We are automatically saved by grace through faith, and we automatically become a child of God's. We are automatically born again by the Spirit. We have all of our sins forgiven, past, present, and future, automatically. And we are automatically sealed with the Holy Spirit as our guarantee of our eternal inheritance in heaven. Now, I could go on and on with a lot of other things that were given to us at the moment we received Christ as our Savior. However, there are some things that are not automatically done for us. For example, our flesh or our sin nature has not been automatically removed. It will be, but for now it still remains in us. We are not automatically removed from our fallen world, and so we have to deal with what that world offers us. And we're also not automatically taken out of a battle with the forces of demonic influence. We have to face them on a daily basis. So once we have become saved, and until the day we die, we're always going to be in this battle with our three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. In spite of that, the promises of Jesus still remain. However, we're going to have to do the work of working out our sanctification if we are going to experience the fruits that Jesus promised us. These promises of Jesus are real and they're true, but we have to work at deepening and growing our relationship with him for the results to begin to appear. For example, Jesus said in John 15:5, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So really, it's an all or nothing proposition. There are two clear conditions in this verse for us being able to bear much fruit. The first one is this: we must first remain or abide in him. Now, the illustration Jesus is using is that of a branch that is connected to the vine. When that connection is strong and healthy, everything that the branch needs to produce fruit is provided to it by the vine. I'm not exactly sure what is coming from the vine and then going into the branch that causes it to produce fruit. I would imagine water might be part of that. But whatever's coming from the vine into the branch, it's critical not only for the branch to live, but also for the branch to be able to bear its fruit. So there must be us abiding in Jesus. The second condition is Jesus must remain or abide in us. Now, on the surface, that's a no-brainer. I mean, Jesus is going to remain in us because he has told us he will never leave us or forsake us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit as our guarantee of eternal life. However, Jesus isn't talking in this passage about our eternal security. He's talking about his presence in us actively producing fruit. And here's where the problem lies. He is always with us, and he is always in us. But do we give him the opportunity to be in control of us? He is in the car, but we're still the one behind the steering wheel. He's on board the ship, but we're still acting as the captain. For us to really be abiding in him, and for him to be abiding in us, means that we must offer him our body, our plans, and our life each and every day. Abiding means surrendering to him and following him one day at a time. It means offering our bodies to him as we're commanded to do in Romans 12:1, and it means asking the Spirit to fill us and empower us so that we might walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And it means putting on the full armor of God every day. In verse 9 of John 15, Jesus tells his disciples to remain or abide in his love. And then he tells us how to do that. He said, "It is when we keep his commandments that we remain in his love." This is what he did while on earth. He obeyed all of his Father's commands, so he tells us that we need to do the same, and he adds this promise. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, now listen carefully, he said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Now, if we're looking for joy in this life, and we want a joy that lasts, it will never be found in looking at more pornography. That is an empty wasteland offering only more shame and more guilt. However, there is true joy that comes with deepening and growing our connection with Jesus. This is John Doyle with 180 Podcast. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord. Abide in him and let his word abide in you. Obey his commandments and you will find him bringing you joy. God bless you. Take care. And we'll talk tomorrow. Goodbye.